Gavin Turek, off her album Good Look For You, new music. The song is called The Distance. Before that, we had Mahalia with her song Sober out of the UK, McCombs Room by Rook Milo, and before that, Sango with Tres Horas, and just before that, Carrie Foe with Gotta Know off her brand new album coming out. She's from Little Rock, Arkansas. She's got this like casual 80s pop, G-funk vibe. You can tell she grew up listening to hip-hop, but it's fun music. Her album coming out is called Primary. She'll be on tour with Sid the Kid when they have their stop in Vancouver on Friday, November 4th at the Vogue. And she's also featured in the OST for season 2 of Insecure, if that's a show that you're into. A quote from her is, her goal in life is to be someone that people respect. They respect what I do, and then they also like me as a person. They feel inspired to be themselves because I'm just being myself. I'm not a character. All these rappers are created players. They're like wrestlers. They got theme music. They got special moves that they do. And then there's just me, hella regular. So go check out Carrie Foe. And that's the end of episode 18, y'all. See you next week. Goodbye.
Yeah, the state of hip-hop right now, man, as far as the way I see it, I think right now, hip-hop is advancing as far as skills. You got brothers, you know what I'm saying, getting, like, more witty.
There ain't nobody to be pretty for. Let it rattle, let the clatter kill him, let the cataclysm wash. Who really listens? Precision with a verse draws a crowd. I draw a line between an easy melody and peace of mind.
Uh-huh. You got DJs doing all kind of crazy shit on the turntables. I like where it's going, and I like, you know what I'm saying, the creative process that brothers is trying to take it to right now.
Rally Rails and Brendan Butter in the place to be. Crimes and Treasons Radio, 101.9 FM, Vancouver, CITR.ca, every Tuesday, 9 till 11.
Dynamite! Oh man, I am so sweaty right now.
Where's all my soul sisters? Let me hear your flow, sisters.
Hey, sister, go, sister, soul, sister, flow, sister. Oh.
You are listening to the Thunderbird Locker Room, 101.9 CITR Radio, coming to you from UBC on unceded Musqueam territory. Today, we have on the show Kathleen Cahoon. She's a UBC women's hockey player, a left winger. She's in fourth year of forestry. She's also, as I understand, one of the twin towers on the hockey team. How tall are you? 6 foot?
6 foot one.
6 foot one. And how tall is the other one?
Logan Boyd, 6 foot.
What's her name? Logan?
Boyd.
So you're the biggest of the Twin Towers.
I am.
So do you smash people when you're skating out there on the ice?
Guess if they hit our girls, I'll hit them back.
Are you allowed to hit people in the women's league?
Technically, no. You can rub out, but sometimes...
Rub out, was that like face wash? Or...
Just like a little bump on the wall, but sometimes you can get some full contact hits.
Okay, so did you come to UBC just to play hockey? Was that the main goal?
Main goal, hockey, and then UBC also had a great education program, so it's what I wanted to do with forestry, so I was like, perfect fit.
So you wanted to do forestry right out of high school?
Not right away. I knew I wanted to do something with the environment, but I was kind of lost, and I went into arts first, and then went into forestry after that.
Okay. So what area of forestry are you doing? Are you doing... development? I honestly don't even know what the areas of forestry are. So
I'm in the conservation stream. So there's I'm in the science and management of conservation. There's also global relations, and then there's wood processing, which is a completely different stream. But okay. Yeah.
So you're putting the trees up, and processing's chopping them down.
Yeah, exactly. A little okay. Feud there.
Yeah. So did you play other sports in high school?
Yes.
I'm assuming. All the coaches saw you walking down the hall, and they're like, come play on my team.
Yeah, so I played volleyball, basketball. I did high jump and the 200 meter.
Well, first of all, where did you go to high school? Where are you from?
So I'm from Calgary, Alberta.
Oh, gross.
I know, honestly, Vancouver's way better. I went to Bishop Grandin High School, and then in grade 12, I went to Notre Dame, which is in Wilcox, Saskatchewan.
Is that a hockey school?
Yeah, it's a pretty big hockey school, and it's literally in the middle of nowhere.
Is it a boarding school?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was really fun, though.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, was it all women's?
No, it was actually an all-boys school for a really long time, and then girls are allowed in there now, but it was like only 300 students or something, so it was small.
Joe went to a hockey school like that, a small one.
Antilla?
Yeah, I had him on. I can't remember what the school was called, though. So you played, what sports did you play?
Volleyball, basketball, track and field. So I did high jump, 200 meter.
Did you not like those other sports as much as hockey? Or?
Like, I love playing them, but hockey was always number one. It was kind of what I've always wanted to do. So.
Okay. So when you're growing up, who were your sort of hockey heroes? Were they more... women's players or men's players?
I'd probably say men. I really liked Ryan Kessler.
That's the Canucks. Sorry,
ex-Canuck.
I know barely anything about hockey, so.
So he's an ex-Canuck.
Didn't a lot of girls like him just because he was a pretty boy?
Yeah, he is. That was a factor, to be honest.
Okay.
there's also Nash, love him. And then Rick Nash.
Oh, I thought you meant Steve Nash. He's not a hockey player.
And then on the women's side, it's kind of newer, but Natalie Spooner, she's pretty badass. So.
Who's she?
She's on the Canadian national team, and she's just really our team actually met her once, but I don't personally know her.
Okay.
But.
Were you involved when you were growing up in any of the Canada camps or the system at all? Or were you not that good? Or what?
No, I think I hit my peak a little late,
Are you better now?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. But I did play for a Team Alberta in my grade 12 year, but that's as close.
A Team Alberta?
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of tournaments do they go to?
So there's a national tournament, so every province has a team. So you just go, ours was in Dawson Creek, and you play basically...
Dawson Creek?
Yeah. It was the worst place you could have gone.
Okay.
People got to go to cool places like Montreal and stuff, but so we went to Dawson Creek and played in a tournament. It's kind of round robin style, and then it goes quarter, semis, finals.
Okay.
Yeah.
So... Last year, you guys were... So the UBC was Canwest champs?
Yeah, yeah.
So you started school what year here?
Started in 2013.
Okay, so was that the first championship you've won with them, or have you guys won other championships?
Yeah, so the year before I came, they won the Canwest, and then they came fifth at Nationals. And then last year was the first year that we won it again, and then we came second at Nationals.
Who'd you lose to?
Montreal.
The Frenchies?
The Caravan.
Where was the tournament?
Last year was at Calgary, actually, so it was nice. It was home.
Oh, okay, so you had a bunch of friends come out and stuff?
Yeah.
So in the Canwest Champs, who'd you play for the final there?
We played Manitoba.
Do you have any friends on these other big teams that you play against? Like, obviously, you played age grade, right? So you would know girls that went to other schools and stuff.
Yeah, so I know I probably know someone on every team in the Canada West, at least. Friends turning into frenemies, but...
Do you ever fight any of them at all?
Sometimes, but it's always friendly competition, but sometimes it gets a little heated.
So when I was, I think, 16, 17, I played lacrosse, but I also reffed lacrosse, mm-hmm. and... The women's games were by far some of the most vicious games I've ever reffed. Not in terms of fights and stuff, but what they were saying to each other.
Oh, yeah.
You fucking bitch. You whore. You cunt.
Oh,
just
God.
Screaming at each other. I'm like, do I call a penalty? Because it's happening all the time.
Yeah.
Is it the same in hockey? Like, are you...
I wouldn't say to that extent, but there's there's definitely chirps going on. I think one of our girls, her hair actually got pulled in a game, but
okay.
I don't know. There's a lot of chirps. It's pretty fun.
Do you get into the mix on the chirping side of things?
Yeah, I would say not good at it,
yeah.
But I do like getting my 2 cents in or a little shove here or there.
Do you yell, like when you're watching the games at tournaments, do you yell at people on the ice and stuff? I love doing that. Oh yeah, yelled at Joe during that big
Winter Classic.
I was like, get your shit together.
Yeah, it was sometimes I get into it, especially on the sideline of like our own games. If I'm injured or something, it's just,
oh yeah,
it's fun to get in the face of like kind of the fans and stuff.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. So I talked to you about your interests other than hockey, and it doesn't seem like you have very many, which is pretty typical for a hockey player, I'm not gonna lie.
Seriously.
But you did say like hunting, or not hunting,
definitely
hiking,
not hunting,
hiking and adventuring.
Yeah.
So where do you like to go adventuring?
When I'm home, I like to go to like the Kananaskis area. It's
What's
pretty
that?
Nice. It's like Banff area, kind of. There's a lot of nice hikes out there. It's an hour and a half-ish away from Calgary. If not, heading up to Whistler, the North Shore is always nice over here. So,
are you hardcore into hiking? Like you're into exploring what kind of different boots you can have and the different bags? And that's a big thing now.
Yeah, it's like I worked actually at Mountain Equipment Co-op, and I wasn't really into it before. And then I was like, whoa, this
There's
is
so
some
much,
nice
yeah,
shit. Like, but yeah, I... The most I've gone on is like a 7-hour one-way hike.
Seven hours? Where was that?
I can't remember the name of it, but it went to this really nice lake, and
was it one of those the lakes that are full of the water from glaciers, so it's all
I didn't go in it because it was
that greenish sort of blue color.
It was really nice, but yeah, it was 7 hours one way. Got stuck in a rainstorm and
wait, you got stuck in a rain? How do you get stuck in a rainstorm?
Well, I didn't get stuck, it's just like it sucked because like you're hiking set like 5 hours in and it starts pouring rain and there's like bear scat everywhere and you're like, oh my gosh, is it really worth it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But was it?
Yeah, it was.
It was once you got there.
Yeah, it was super nice.
Do you go? Have you gone camping a lot?
Yeah, so that one, we ended up camping. I've never gone, that's a lie, actually. I've gone car camping once, but back
car camping?
Yeah, like pull up your vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, set up the tent, but I like the backcountry camping a lot better.
Yeah, it kind of sucks when you see other people out there. You don't want to see other people. Like, I've recently gotten to hunting the last year. I don't know how you feel about that, but but we like when we go up, I don't want to see any other dudes with orange flags on them trying to kill things because I want to try and kill something. How do you feel about hunting? Like, what's your position?
It
not sounded a fan. Like you were not a fan of it.
No,
so
not
what
a fan.
What aren't you a fan of in the hunting?
I think just over hunting. Like I understand like certain cultures
well,
like
over hunting makes it well. That's the opposite of what I want.
Yeah,
to
I guess
do, right.
Yeah, like I understand like. Cultures and stuff, they go hunting, that's how they gather food and stuff, but I think
so you're talking like indigenous
like
you're
that's
fine that,
but like I don't know, just to do it just because I'm just like not my thing.
So you know, so you wouldn't think that me going out hunting would be a good thing, but I can eat meat from like a Safeway or something,
I guess, but yeah, I don't know. I just like I think it's a thought of me actually or someone actually killing the animal, I just don't like it.
Like you,
but I know
you
they
personally
die.
Killing the animal.
Yeah,
but you know when you bite it to because you eat meat.
Yes, I do. Love meat. I know I'm kind of a hypocrite right now, but
yeah. So I've said this on a couple shows or one another show, but my stance is the best way for the animals to, like to kill an animal is for a hunter to shoot it. Okay, so they starve to death. They get killed by bears, and bears don't kill them. They just start eating them, right?
But that's Mother Nature. That's the circle of life.
Am I not part of Mother Nature? We did it for thousands of years, and still we started building houses and growing corn. Then we just slide them into factories, right?
Yeah, I guess.
So have you seen those videos of cows, like, getting killed in factories? And
yeah, I'm not a fan of that either.
No?
No.
Would you go vegetarian, you think?
Gosh, that's hard. Like, I know it's even like cows in captivity and any animal like that, it's they cause so much pollution too. Like, the amount of CO2 it emits into the atmosphere is so bad.
Yeah.
But like, there's good alternatives, but I think you'd have to get really close to tasting like meat for me to go.
What, like tofu or something like that?
I do eat tofu sometimes.
Oh, kinda. I hate tofu.
It just tastes like what you make with it, though.
It's the texture.
Yeah. Once you get past that, though, it's fine.
So have you seen the fake meat or the lab-grown meat they're doing?
Yeah, it's like it bleeds like a...
Is it bleeds?
Yeah, there's this plant-based product that they're making in it.
Oh, no, this isn't plant-based. Oh. This is actual meat. Like, they're taking proteins and turning it into a steak in a...
Mm. No, there's a documentary on it, but I never watched it.
On the fake meat one?
Yeah.
Or the
real meat.
The lab-grown? Yeah. What was the one you were talking about?
I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a plant-based meat, and there's something they use in it that makes it bleed like a meat, and it kind of tastes like a meat, but...
What do you... Oh.
I don't know.
Okay, is it this one? Oh, there it is, yeah. It bleeds like... Okay. Oh, man, I'm so sweaty right now. Okay. This is what they put in the article. It looks like meat, it smells like meat, it cooks like meat, and it bleeds like meat. But this burger is entirely plant-based. How do they make it bleed like meat?
I have no
idea. Do you remember what they said?
No. No, not at all.
Would you eat that, you think?
Yeah,
would you
for
eat
sure.
This burger?
Like if it actually did taste like meat and stuff, for sure.
But What would the justification be? Because you don't think killing animals is right, or?
Well, it's not that it's not right. It's just like you said, like the factories and stuff. It's just so bad, like how they treat animals, and then also the amount emitted into the atmosphere is just insane.
So let's say we go to this becomes widespread, and there's no more need for factory farms. Would you be anti-hunting at that point or not?
I think maybe less so, but
less so, less anti-hunting or more
less anti-hunting, I guess.
If there was no more factory farms, if there's more of this, yeah. You'd be less anti-hunting, or you'd be more anti-hunting.
Honestly, I don't know. I just hate hunting, but. I just
tell me why.
I just don't see the point behind it.
Other than avoiding
eating the meat, but there's people who like do it just to like hang it up on their wall.
There are
like trophy hunting is just stupid to me.
There are people like that, but most ethical hunters hunt for food. That's what they're doing. They take the meat, right? And it's also for conservation as well. Most of the money that, like, when you're doing your job, keeping the animal life and the forest going, most of that money comes from hunters, at least for the animal life. Mm-hmm. So game tags, the courses for guns, the courses for the core, which is the hunting regulations, mm-hmm. all that money goes towards keeping the animals alive. Yeah. It's not PETA giving money. Yeah. PETA doesn't give money to the BC government to keep our animals alive, right?
Oh, hell no. Yeah, no.
And their numbers also, if we don't kill them, they get out of hand, right? Mm-hmm. So in California, it's illegal to hunt cougars. They got a huge cougar problem there now. Mm-hmm. In some places in the East Coast of the states, people just don't hunt. And they're just overrun with white-tailed deer, mm-hmm. just getting hit by cars, and people die every year.
Yeah.
If you kill off a few of them, I mean, that'll stop people from getting hit by cars, and it's, I mean, team people, right?
Yeah. No, I understand, like, the conservation side of hunting and, like, controlling population size, which is cool, but it's just, like, trophy hunting and
I don't like trophy hunting either, right?
Yeah.
I mean, shooting something and then just chopping its head off and putting it on the wall has no appeal to me.
No,
at all.
Not at all.
But eating it, that's got a little bit of appeal to me. Okay.
What was the last thing you hunted?
Okay, so I've never actually shot anything.
Okay.
But the last thing we went out hunting was black bear.
Ooh.
In, where were we? Northern, somewhere, middle BC.
Yeah.
All we saw was the ass end of a deer. We saw no bears. We saw a lot of bear poo. That was the time before. The last time was during the winter last year.
Okay.
And it was about negative 30. And we saw a bunch of deer, but we didn't shoot anything. It sucked. It didn't suck. I got away from the city, but half the point is just like
getting an excuse
to go camping, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to jump in with our first break here on the Thunderbird Locker Room, and then we'll come back with Kathleen Cahoon, and we're going to get real deep. Do you
hear what I'm hearing? Come enjoy British Columbia's beautiful wilderness with the UBC Varsity Outdoors Club. Try your hand at hiking, backcountry skiing, rock climbing, kayaking, and much more. Whether you're a beginner or an expert, we have trips happening every week, usually at no cost. I'm just living. Check us out online at ubc-voc.com.
You are listening to 101.9 CITR Radio coming to you from UBC on unceded Musqueam territory. This is the Thunderbird Locker Room, and today's guest is Kathleen Cahoon. Enjoy. Last year, this week is the Bell Let's Talk sort of thing going on.
Yep.
It's kind of blowing up across campus, all across Canada. So last year on your hockey team, you had the goalie. Her name was Laura Taylor. She committed suicide.
Yep.
Do you want to just talk about how that was for the team when it happened and then following?
So that happened April of last year. It was really tough for us because we had no idea that she was battling mental illness. And she was kind of one of those people who always helped others and asked everyone else how they're doing, but you couldn't really tell that she was struggling. So when the coaches told us, you could tell something was wrong, but no one knew what it was. And then they told us, and it was just, I don't know, a lot of us took time off of exams and stuff because it was pretty devastating.
Yeah, did you take time off exams? Were you closer? Or?
My exams were actually pretty late into April. They were like the last day or so. So I had time to kind of mourn and stuff. I did miss some work, but yeah.
Yeah, so when I was 16, I actually had one of the guys I played with committed suicide, but since his family was super religious, they're Catholic, and mm-hmm. at that time, it was still the thing where if you committed suicide, you didn't go to heaven.
Oh, yeah,
They were still preaching that. So when we went to his funeral, they actually said that it was, and he just tried to hurt himself sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you kind of knew, right?
Mm-hmm.
But her parents, Laura Taylor's parents, were a lot more supportive of the whole, like, mental health sort of apparatus, right? Mm-hmm. So at this last, what game was it? I went to part of it.
The Alberta series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was the whole idea around that?
We wanted to kind of pay our respects to LT. So we retired her jersey, and her parents came out and we gave them that, and then we just wanted to get people talking, and we knew the Bellet's talk was coming up, so we thought it was a good time a couple weeks in advance to get the word out and kind of bring the community together. We've had a lot of other teams like approach us and say thanks for that, and we've had, after that game actually, we had a couple people across Canada, different teams, say that it was super nice and that it's affected them and kind of helping them open up about stuff too. So it was kind of cool to hear that it's reached across Canada and it is affecting people.
Mm-hmm. I actually have, like, it is actually quite an undercover phenomenon how many people have mental illness, especially in the society we have today. I mean, it could drive you a little crazy, right?
Yeah.
I actually have a cousin. I'm not going to say it, but I mean, I'm sure people will be able to find it. But he has some mental health problems, and he actually moved down to the States, but he didn't have a visa, and he lived on the street for a year, like as a bum, basically as a bum, but not like doing drugs and stuff. He just wanted to live on the side of the road for some reason, and we tried to. So he came back to Canada, and he wanted to go back down to the States, and we drove him down to the border, and they're like, no, you can't come back in. You lived here for a year without a visa.
Oh, no.
He was actually the cousin that got me into Family Guy when I was really young. He showed me Family. He, like, opened that door of...
Giggity-gig.
Yeah. Of, like, when I was real young, but way too young see it. He was the one who showed me the Family Guy roots.
No, that's funny.
Yeah. So did you guys do like a big funeral for her? I know you retired her number. What was her number? The
29.
Okay.
Yeah.
So was it like in a church? Open casket sort of thing?
Her funeral was actually in Kelowna, and it was in the summer.
Oh, that's right. She's from Kelowna.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people who went home for the summer, but there was a group of us, probably about 8 to 10 of us, who drove up. And it was in, it was in a church, small, really small funeral. Closed casket. And it was really nice. We had probably 3 of our girls speak at it, and then her family and everyone. And it was,
Have any of the players on your team actually talked about their mental... Any mental problems? Or
yeah, we've had a couple of girls.
I mean, you don't have to give names.
Yeah,
or anything.
No, for
actually,
sure.
Please don't give names.
We've had a couple of girls even before that happened. One of our girls, she stepped up, and I think a couple others confide in that one or so people. Not everyone, but it's definitely opened up, and we've kind of created a safe atmosphere in our dressing room to open up about it. So
that's good. I don't have, like, any, like, suicidal thoughts or things, but I can get real deep and real dark sometimes. Or you just do the thing where you start thinking about things you did when you were 11 years old that were terrible, like you trip some kid on the monkey bar or like kick some kid off the monkey bars and you're like, you're
what
such a terrible person, right? Yeah. Or like, oh, I punched that person in the face like 10 years ago. Why did I do that? Do you get dark sometimes?
Not too dark, I don't think. Yeah, sometimes, I guess. I used to walk in the hallways at high school and be like, just kind of want to elbow someone, but never actually did it. But
I always got these thoughts in my head when I was in grade 12 of, you know, those grade 8 kids who for the first maybe 3 weeks, they'll sprint to class.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just drop a shoulder on one. Books go flying everywhere. Yeah.
Welcome to high school.
Yeah, welcome. Was it eight to twelve your school?
No, our high school was just 10 to 12.
Oh, so you had middle school in Calgary?
Yeah, yeah. There was junior high.
Okay. Did you guys do any? Were you crazy in high school? Did you go do partying or?
No, I
smoke the drugs or anything.
I was very mellow, actually. I don't think I had a sip of alcohol until like halfway through grade 11. And then boarding school is fun, though. It was fun because there's a lot of rules at Notre Dame. It was a very
Catholic. So it was fun to break the rules?
It was fun to like kind of live on the edge and like not even like drinking wise or anything. Just you can't be in certain places and you just kind of mess around and just try and get around the teachers and stuff. So it was kind of, I don't know, it was always just a good time.
Yeah, I know a couple guys that went to Shawnigan Lake. And it's funny, all these boarding schools are supposed to be super strict and like, you can't do this, you can't do that. But then you hear some of the stories from these guys about like, there's a mattress in the woods that everyone used to sneak out and have sex in. Yeah. They used to sneak out and have sex in the buses. Like, it seems like those schools were a lot crazier than just a normal public school.
Yeah, it does like create like sneaky kids, I think, but I don't know, it's just fun to come up with random shit to do. Even right. Like, because at Notre Dame it was in literally nowhere and you were surrounded by fields because it was Saskatchewan, and you literally just got up to no good, climbed roofs, just kind of
jumped
got into
off
trouble.
Stuff. Yeah. So you're actually injured right now.
Yes.
You did your MCL.
Lower body injury.
Oh, yeah. Why do they say that in hockey? Is that so they don't have to tell people how bad the injury is? Or?
Yeah, or like even other teams, they find out, they usually go after you that spot.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just like
okay,
under the wraps, you know?
Yeah. So you did MCL strain.
It's kind of a reoccurring injury. I've had it before, so it shouldn't be too bad, I don't think.
Are you going to have to get surgery eventually, do you think?
I haven't ever torn it completely. Last year, I had a partial tear in it, but it recovered really well until last weekend.
What happened? Did you just get hit funny? Or?
Yeah, I think I just got hit funny in it. Like, I could feel it, and then, yeah, I just kind of had
to
stop.
Is it all swollen right now? Or?
It's actually like not too bad. I am almost fully straightening it, so.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
What's the worst injury? Is it mostly that knee that gives you troubles, or?
Yeah, I've had a lot of injuries over my days. I think I've broken / sprained or tore something about 9 times, I think. 9 or 10 injuries.
Okay.
But
yeah, I had an old boy at one of the rugby clubs I used to play. I'd tell me that the only game of rugby you'll play not injured is your first one.
Yeah, seriously. I don't know how rugby players do it. I watched a game this year and I was like, what the heck?
Well,
like,
everyone out there. Well, the first thing, and I also had someone ask me, how many of the guys on your team think have brain damage? And I said, all of them.
Yeah.
And they're like, what do you mean? I was like, all of them have brain damage.
It's insane.
I mean, I was offered 2 years with concussion. Yeah, everyone has brain damage. And, like, I can't even count the amount of stuff. I just keep thinking of things that are wrong with me when I start listing them off. Like, oh, my neck hurts. And I was like, oh, yeah, my hip's kind of sore. And, oh, my toe's kind of hurting me. And, oh, my wrist is kind of messed up sometimes. And this finger hurts and that finger hurts. Is it the same in the hockey team? Like, do all the girls have at least something going on?
Sometimes. Obviously not to the rugby extent. I don't understand how you do that. But, yeah, usually there's one or two injuries at a time. But nothing usually too, too severe. But
So what was the worst one you got then? Is it that knee because it keeps coming back?
No, or? I would say either I tore the ligaments in one of my ankles playing basketball, or I broke my arm and my wrist at the same time in a hockey game. Oh. That was pretty bad.
That one? Were you just punching some girl in the face?
I actually went to cross check someone.
Oh, and, well, you can't do that.
Yeah, so already not allowed. And then my wrist actually rolled, so I hit her. I guess with
your arm, basically.
My arm, basically, and my radius moved to like where my ulna was, and I chipped my the little nubby bone on your wrist. So, yeah, that was pretty bad.
Did you have to get surgery on that one?
I didn't have to get surgery, but I went under and they had to replace it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I broke my wrist once, and or not my wrist, my thumb. And it dislocated as well. So we go to the hospital. This is actually first day of trials for under 17 Canada. Playing touch rugby, I break my thumb. So we go to the doctor, and I'm so pissed off. I think it's the first day, right? And the doctor's like wiggling it around. He's like, yeah, we might have to do surgery. And then I go in for the x-rays, and as the nurse is positioning it, it clicks it back in. And she's like, oh, what was that? The doctor comes in. He's like, oh, I guess we won't have to do surgery anymore.
You're like, thanks.
Thanks, man. Because I was like, oh, can you give me like a cool scar, like talking to him about the surgery? And then he's like, oh, I guess we won't have to do it anymore.
I actually, it's not really an injury, but I had a benign bone tumor in my wrist. So I actually have a pretty gnarly scar on my wrist.
Oh.
But I have a plate and nine screws.
When did that happen?
So I had it for about 4 years, and I ended up getting surgery.
Wait, you had a tumor, so it wasn't cancer?
No, it was benign, so it was, like, constantly hurting. Like, if I literally lightly touched it on something, it would be just the most painful thing. So I had that for 4 years, and then I got surgery in 2014, I think, and I have a plate in there, nine screws, so
Wait,
it's just...
What? So on your bones, what did it look like? Was it just a little bump of extra?
Yeah, so it was like it was just a huge bump here.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah, it wasn't nice. And then honestly,
I thought you were going to say it was a little.
No.
It was a huge like.
Yeah, it was pretty big. They like cut, so they ended up cutting out that piece of my bone and then just.
So they had to like saw it off basically.
Yeah, so and they would radio blade it, so it wouldn't have actually had to be cut open, but it's too close to my nerve endings in my hand, so they had to cut it.
Did you get any nerve stuff after they did it?
No, actually, he did a good job.
That's good.
All my nerves are intact.
Did you go to some special
wrist
guy?
There's a guy.
Everyone's got a guy.
I have a guy.
I think there's so many... There's so many people who have the best guy. Yeah. I think it's just every doctor is the best guy.
Honestly.
You know? Like, oh, this guy does knee. He's the best knee guy. But there's 400 best knee guys in Vancouver, you know?
Oh, for sure. I got this guy in Calgary. He's a bone specialist, and his name is Dr. Bowen. So
nice.
How could he not be good at it? So.
That's hilarious. When you were growing up, were you like a city kid in Calgary? I mean, as much as a city, you can be a city kid in Calgary.
Yeah.
Or did you grow up on a farm or what?
I've always been in kind of the suburbs. So I actually was born downtown Calgary.
Okay.
Like, not right out of the womb, obviously, but... No, so I lived in downtown Calgary, then our family moved to Okotoks, which is...
Oh, my God. I know way too many people from Okotoks.
Really? Yeah, so anyways. I moved there for about 4 years, and then... After that, actually moved to Maple Ridge in the Lower Mainland in BC here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So.
I used to, because I live in Port Moody.
Okay, nice.
I used to do BMX racing in Maple Ridge.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah, so lived there and then moved back to Calgary, and we've been in Calgary ever since.
In the city there?
Or
suburbs, you said?
Yeah, suburbs. I'd say probably like a 20-minute drive from downtown core.
Okay. Did you ever go out like partying in Calgary?
Surprisingly, not really, because I went to boarding school,
right.
and then
you came here.
Yeah, then I guess I had the summer, but didn't really do too much, and then in Vancouver now, so.
Are you rowdy now?
Sometimes. Depending what the team's doing.
When the mood is right.
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay, so are you into politics at all?
Not totally, but I've gotten into it more since the Trump election.
Trump got you into it?
Yeah, I kind of...
Oh, I know what I want to talk about. The Women's March. Did you go to the Women's March?
No, so we were actually in Saskatoon when that happened, and we were getting ready for our game, but we saw it happen downtown. It was... We could see it from our rooms, okay. But we didn't actually get to go to it.
Did you get a bunch of Snapchats from it and stuff?
Yeah, a couple of my friends went to the one in Vancouver, so it was
okay,
it was
so
cool.
I had... My only issue with the Women's March was there was no clear... First of all, we live in Canada. He's the president of the United States, which is fine. I mean, you can protest that. But there was no clear objective. There was people from everywhere there. There was LGBT people. There was there was anti and pro-abortion people there. There was women's rights people. There was, I mean, just environment, an array of people. And the same thing happened during Occupy, which is what I'm scared will happen now, is during you remember Occupy Wall Street?
Refresh me.
Yeah, it's exactly right. So Occupy Wall Street were the giant protests all over the world against after the crash in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
They had no leaders and they had no vision at all, and they just got shut down.
Yeah,
people were living in New York City, the park in New York City. What's it called?
Central Park.
Central Park for months, and nothing happened. Mm-hmm. There was Occupy at the art gallery here, all over the world, and nothing happened.
Yeah.
So my fear is that there'll be no clear, there's no leader. How do you think this is going to turn out this time around?
I hope
something happens.
I do hope that, like, change can come of it, but I do think it's kind of hard to get that change. But I think the bigger thing is that, like, everyone from literally so many countries just came together, and like everyone's pissed about it about Trump
winning.
And like what he's doing, and it's just I don't know. I think it's just good that everyone just came together and was like, basically, fuck you, Trump.
Yeah,
but I don't know what can really come of it. But
I have another issue with the, like, if Trump does anything good, the problem is people might still say fuck Trump.
Yeah.
Right? So everyone's anti-TPP. Trump signs a bill I don't know where you are on the TPP or where other people are, the trade deal.
Yeah.
He signs it. Nothing. Nothing about it in the news on the good side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's just against all the other terrible things he did.
Yeah.
Right? The same thing happened with Obama, but on the other side. Everything he did good, people were like, yeah, go Obama. But everything he did bad, just don't talk about it. Same thing with Trump. Everything he does bad, oh, he's horrible, he's terrible. Everything he does good, don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Right?
The media's portrayal, I guess you kind of have to give him a fair shot and like a clean slate. But like,
I mean,
I don't know.
We
some
don't
of
have
stuff
to give him a fair shot.
But like,
we have to say what he does. If he does something good, okay.
Which I guess is also like matter of opinion too. But yeah.
Yeah.
So,
what's your opinion on Justin?
Honestly,
old JT.
I haven't really been following Canadian politics, and
really?
No.
You're an environmentalist, and you don't follow Canadian politics.
I know, it's not good. the U.S. one is just really exciting, but I don't know,
It does have a big impact on the whole world, basically.
Yeah, it's
right?
The U.S. has so much power, so it's kind of scary.
I mean, yeah, well, it's scary to think about what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually listening to a podcast about the period between the end of the Second War and the Cold and Vietnam, and they're talking about the power of nuclear weapons now, and comparing them to the power of the ones that they dropped in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And you can't even compare the two weapons, because the H-bomb that we have now is 1,000 times more powerful. And they're saying that, like, you can't have it be a military strategy to drop the H-bomb, because it's basically genocide what you'll be doing. So it's more of a, it's not a military decision. It's like a, almost a geopolitical, like, it's a whole decision for the whole species, basically.
Yeah.
You're not just trying to take out a military target. You're going to destroy a whole country with one bomb, right?
It's insane.
So are you scared of Trump, what Trump would do with the H-bomb? Is that what you're scared of, what he'll do? Or what scares him the most of you about him? Because at that Women's March, most of it wasn't about him having control of the nukes. It was mostly about what he was going to do to women's rights and
exactly.
people's rights, right?
Which the women's rights thing is, I just like can't fathom like him actually doing that. It's just, it's I don't know, it's ridiculous.
So you saw how he wrote an executive order to take away funding from international programs that provided abortion, right?
Yeah.
And then you saw, I think it was the Netherlands, decided to start a fund to make up that money.
Yeah,
and all these
I saw
other
that.
Countries are like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, I did see that. But yeah, it's just, it's insane because you would never see someone write a bill about what men can do with their sperm. It's like, oh, if you're going to take away abortions or something, make it a law, obviously you can't govern it, but men have to wear a condom every time they don't have marital sex. Like, it's not a really fair thing, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. So you like trees?
Yes.
What's your favorite kind of tree?
I'd go with a Sitka spruce.
What is a Sitka spruce? So Sitka, the only thing I know about Sitka is a Sitka blacktail, which is a type of deer that lives on the very east coast of BC.
Okay.
And it's like the smallest sort of deer. And it's a subspecies of the mule deer.
Nice.
So what is...
So Sitka spruce, coniferous, it has pointy-ass needles. Like,
okay.
If you brush by one, it's just going to literally stab
It'll
you.
It'll stab you? And that's why you like
it? Well, no, but they're like... I don't know. They're kind of just a cool species. I don't know. I like the look of them. They're... I don't know. It's just... It's a nice tree.
Okay.
There's a lot of nice trees out there.
Yeah. So I actually listened to another podcast. You can tell I have a lot of time on my hands. And they were talking about how trees actually... So on tree roots, there's these little white bits of fungus that they find. Do you know about these?
Yeah.
Do you remember what they're called? Because it's super... I'm sure it's super important to your job.
It's literally slipping my name.
We can look it up. Okay, so we can't seem to find the name here, but there's a prof named Susan Simard who did a TED Talk about it. And the big quote they put here is, a forest is much more than what you see. So the podcast I was listening to said that they would put, so much like how they'll put a radioactive substance in your brain to see like injuries and stuff, mm-hmm. and they can see the radiation, they put it in these trees and it goes into the roots, and then it was being dispersed through the ground through these bits of fungus. So these little white fungus would distribute the radiation all through the fort, like hundreds of yards away. They would find the radiation that they put in a tree 100 yards that way, right?
Yeah.
Or, and they also found that it would go to trees that had less food, or trees that were dying would be the ones that everyone was sending the nutrients to. That is fascinating. And
it's
most of this
so
work
cool.
has been done in BC, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of it. And like Susan, she's huge into doing that stuff. And there's even, we have a couple people in forestry who, like hydrologists and stuff, who do insane work with it, like nationally
and stuff. What is a hydrologist? That sounds like something to do with water.
It is hydro water. Good
But they're in forestry?
Yeah, well, we did a hydrology course, and it's basically drainage based.
I heard that's one of the hardest courses.
It is insane.
So what's like the whole concept that you study in?
So like drainage basins and how water gets from one point to another, and there's a lot of math involved, which I am not good at.
You just follow the gravity, wouldn't you?
Well,
that seems pretty logical.
Yeah, and then like precipitation and how it affects trees, the environment. It's just basically the interaction between the environment, the forest, and how much water, too much water,
okay.
et cetera.
Yeah.
A lot of calculations, a lot of math.
Is that the only math heavy course in the forestry?
No, so we do hydrology had a lot. We have to take stats.
It takes stats?
Yeah, you do have to take a math course. And yeah, there's a couple Excel. There's one Excel course, which you just do the formulas on Excel, so it's not bad. But
spreadsheets and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, so would you want to do that type of work, like studying...
No.
Not hydrology.
Not hydrology.
Studying... No.
Straight up no.
Does it suck? Did that course really...
Yeah, that's probably the worst course I've taken. Well, okay. Like grade-wise, that was my worst result, but...
Okay, but what about that that tree root thing, the fungus?
That's cool. Like, I like that stuff and how, I like knowing how trees interact and what they can do. Mycorrhiza.
That's what it is.
I just started with an M.
Okay.
Can we? Mycorrhiza.
Mycorrhiza. Nice. Let's see.
Get me some.
I'm gonna read the description off of Wikipedia here. So, mycorrhiza is a symbiotic association between a fungus and the roots of a vascular host plant. So, I guess it's not that name of the fungus; it's the name of the relationship between the host plant and the fungus.
Yeah.
So the term mycorrhiza refers to the role of fungi on the plant's rhizosphere, which is the root system. Of course, everyone knows that. Mycorrhizae play an important role in soil biology and soil chemistry. So did you study the effect on the soil biology and all that kind of fun stuff?
Yeah, I think I did this in one of my 200 level classes, so it's a long ways away. But yeah, we look at the soil interactions. We actually have a soil science class that we have to take.
Like what makes a good soil?
It's literally just about what dirt. It was probably the most interesting class I've taken at UBC so far.
Oh, really?
No. yeah, soil, like the nutrients in it, how the chemicals like move through the soil and...
Oh, that just, sucks.
Yeah, not the most
exciting. Do you talk
exciting.
About like the interaction with the insects in the soil as well?
A little bit, not
that seems
at
like
a specific level yet, but...
Important. Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you done any like... internships? Were you out there digging holes in the woods or cutting down trees in the woods or anything?
No, but I did work at a golf course last year, and they knew I was in forestry, so they let me do a chainsaw course, and I got to cut down actually a lot of trees, and it was kind of
a lot of trees.
Quite a bit, yeah. I cut down a couple full ones, and then just not hedged, but
hedged.
I can't remember what it's
trimmed.
Called. I guess trimmed. Trim them, the lower branches all up to the same level. So it was kind of fun. Okay. It was really fun, actually.
Okay, so I think we're going to get kicked out. They seem to be staring into this studio. So what song do you want to play?
Oh, no. A Little Help from My Friends, the Beatles.
Okay.
It's great. Great song.
Okay. Wasn't expecting that, but all right.
I don't know why, but...
Yeah, why would that come into your mind?
I honestly just watched Across the Universe.
What's that?
It's a great movie. It's placed during the time of the Vietnam War, and it's a musical, and it's just Beatles music. And
it's a musical about the Vietnam War?
Basically, like time, and like it's kind of like not a love story, but there's a relationship in it, and it's probably my favorite movie of all time. It's great.
Thank you for listening to the Thunderbird Locker Room on 101.9 CITR Radio, coming to you from UBC on unceded Musqueam territory. The reign of Trump has begun. Stay safe out there. Stay black.
What would you think if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing.
Are you not sure where to go on campus? Traveling late at night and afraid to go alone? call SafeWalk, a free service where a co-ed team will take you anywhere you need to go on campus. Don't walk alone. For a walk, add SafeWalk to your phone. Call 604-822-5355. That's 604-822-5355. Alternatively, use a UBC Blue phone and ask for SafeWalk. Approach any SafeWalk team or drop by our office on the main floor of the sub across from the gallery lounge.
Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Oh, man.
What?
I really wanted to catch that football game, but I have to clean my room. I'm so bummed.
Yo, man, totally chill out. You can catch it on CITR.
CITR?
Did someone say CITR?
Yeah.
CITR Radio brings you Thunderbird Sports on the weekends. Catch all the action and don't miss a moment of play with our live play-by-play and color commentary. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
Wow,
that's great.
And if you can't catch the game, tune in at 3:30 p.m. every Thursday for our weekly update on UBC Athletics with live scores, recaps, and in-depth analysis.
Oh, okay, dude. Okay, dude. We get it.
Dude!
Only on CITR.
Say goodnight. Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
So I'll gather my bags. High school is not free in Kenya, East Africa. As well as tuition fees, families must find money for uniforms, including shoes, textbooks, calculators, dictionaries, pens, pencils, and more. For poor rural families earning the equivalent of $2 to $3 a day, this is often an impossible challenge. Will you help educate bright, very poor Kenyan youth to help them find a road out of poverty for their families? Just $50 a month will allow that to happen. Gifts of smaller amounts can be combined to give youth a chance through KEEF, the Kenya Education Endowment Fund, a registered, BC-based, volunteer-run educational charity. Tax-deductible receipts are available. Donations make great gifts for Christmas, graduation, anniversaries, promotions, etc. Gift cards are available. More information at www.kenyaeducation.org, or you can call us at 604-415-9397, day or evening.
We'll be right back. yourself your troubled mess, and I think it's time that you confess. And hold your tongue, don't fight tonight. And hold your tongue, don't fight tonight, 'cause you.
Full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last. look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV? My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future, and those forgotten classics that need a little rescue. Loading Head Movies, Monday, 7 to 9 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
This ad caught your attention. It also caught the attention of the coolest people from Squamish to Bellingham, music fans, students, and members of various cultural communities. If you want your ad to do the same, advertise with CITR and Discorder. If you've got a rad new ad or just something you want to share, whether in print, on air, or online, promote your wares, services, or events with us. Contact us at advertising@citr.ca or call 604-822-4342. Visit CITR.ca for rates, information, and packages. This is the end of our ad, and if you're still here, we must be doing something right.
wind.